Today we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, hearing a story that Mark remembers. But first, let us ask for help. Let us pray. A Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord, speak again to your servants, that we may hear your voice calling us to deeper faithfulness, humble service, and joy-filled living. Amen. Mark remembers this. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they were arguing with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." For the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture, thanks be to God. I wonder if you remember this old song. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. When I look in the mirror, I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." Does anybody else know that song? Do you remember that? It is hard to be humble. What do we mean by that word? What is humility about? I want to tell you, when I have taught my 8th grade confirmation class, this is a concept that is very hard for them to get their heads around. Now, I'm not talking about the ones here. We haven't talked about this here. But when I was in Myrtle Beach, humility, that word being humble, it was a word that we wrestled with as 8th graders. So I want your help today. What, when we say humility, when we say humble, what do we mean by that? What does that word mean? All right, I heard selfless. Say it again, Bruce, a little louder. Opening doors for others. Being nice. All we have is by the grace of God. What do we mean when we say humility, being humble? Showing compassion. Showing Do you remember the book E.B. White wrote, it's about a spider. Charlotte's Web, that's it. Phew. Charlotte's Web. When they're having a talk about humility, what does humble mean? Wilbur the pig says, low to the ground. I must be humble, I'm low to the ground. It's more than that though, isn't it? Humility. Putting others first. Opening doors for others. Being selfless, being nice, showing compassion, recognizing that all we have is from God. I think the story from Mark is intended to make you smile. Jesus asks the disciples, what was that thing that y'all were walking along as we traveled and y'all were arguing over something? But they all kind of put their heads down, ashamed of what they've been arguing about. Because along the way, they know what they were arguing about was who is the greatest. There's irony in that. Here are these 12 disciples walking along following Jesus, and they're fighting about who's the greatest. We know who's the greatest. Jesus is. Here they stand in the presence of the greatest. And they're back here fighting about it. They just didn't understand who this man was in their midst. They just didn't understand what God had sent into the world. But that's the benefit that we have. Because we know the whole story. We know that Jesus stands in their midst and He is the greatest. Today I want to ask the question, what does the greatest do? If you agree with me, if you will go as far as to say that Jesus is the greatest, that this argument the disciples have been having is really kind of silly, then what does greatness look like?
Washing feet.
Sacrificing Himself. Not just for the good, but for the wicked. Acknowledging that everything he has comes from God. Being gracious, being kind. Opening the door of heaven for others. Showing compassion. These are the things that Jesus does time and again. He is bold in His humility. This is something that I struggle with. What is it to be humble? It's not what the media projects on my TV screen. It's not even what the songs talk about. Y'all know that song about watch me whip, watch me nay-nay. You know, I can't whip or nay-nay. But no, the chorus, the refrain of that song is all about watch me. It's pointing the finger at me. Humility does the exact opposite. Jesus, we've said, is the greatest. And what does He do in this story? He doesn't say, hey guys, look at my life, I'm the greatest. He never claims that. No, instead he finds a child, a little one, and he puts it in their midst, and he takes it in his arms, and he uses the child as a symbol of what greatness looks like. So again, a question for you. What is that symbol? Why a little child? I would have been better if it had been the cross. That's hard enough. But a little child? What does Jesus mean with this little child? What do you think? What does the little child represent? Kingdom of heaven, say it again. Innocence, helplessness, purity. A little one. Love. Need. Utter dependence. You've been around a toddler lately? Can't do a whole lot. I see nodding heads. We've had toddlers visiting grandparents recently. Can't do a whole lot for themselves. Completely dependent. I wonder, what would it be like if we approached life that way? If we admitted to ourselves what God already knows, that we need God. That everything we have, all that we are, and truthfully all that we do, are gifts from God. Maybe we might rewrite the song, it's not "Watch Me," but maybe "Watch God." Watch what God can do. This week I got to see my son do something I'd never seen before, at least not for him to do. He did the monkey bars. I can't do the monkey bars, never could. And my pride swelled. I even posted on Facebook. Many of you liked it. Thank you. But it's not about what Charles can do. It's about what God has equipped him to do. So what is it for you? What is it that God has made you to do that only you can do? Jesus puts the innocence, the dependence, the love of a little child in their midst and says, if you welcome one of these, you welcome me. And then it's almost like he wants to correct it. Well, you don't just welcome me. You welcome the one who sent me. You welcome God. Today I challenge you to be bold in your humility. That sounds like an oxymoron. But if we're going to outdo one another, have a competition in life, if we want to figure out who's the greatest, Jesus says this is the way. Don't fight over who's first. But fight over who can serve. One of my favorite things about Wednesday night at this church, whenever we gather for our meal at Wednesday night, have you ever noticed when I tell who the mopper is? If you haven't been, the mopper is the person who's responsible for cleaning the table. Responsible for cleaning the table. And the students who come on Logos nights will fight over who gets to clean up the table. I don't see Charles fighting over who gets to make his bed at home. But on Wednesday nights, they want the responsibility of serving. That's what that's about. I wonder, what would it be like if in our daily tasks we fought with our spouse, with our co-workers, with our friends and with our competitors over who can serve the best. That might just change the world. Not about me. It's about God. This week, claim boldness in your humility for the glory of God, not ourselves. Amen.